Welcome to the Chris Ramsey Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. It is Masters Week. It is Masters Eve, the Wednesday, November 11th, 2020 edition of the program. And we're going to talk Masters, a mega Masters preview with our guy Rick Gaiman from RickRungood.com coming up in just a moment. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast Scoops with Danny Mac. Wherever you listen to your podcasts, hit the subscribe and leave us a review. You can also email me, chris@scoopswithdannymac.com, or tweet me, C-H-R-A-B-E. Schnucks Rewards, one more reason to love Schnucks. Get the app that gets you Schnucks Rewards. The Schnucks Rewards app allows you to earn points every time you shop for money off your next purchase. But there's so much more in the app to simplify shopping. For instance, you can get exclusive digital savings, including over 100 new digital coupons every week. The shopping list helps keep you organized. Add items on the go. Plus, you can share it. Recipes in the app make meal planning easy. Search for recipes by ingredients and add them to your shopping list. Go to schnucks.com and check out more about the app that gets you Schnucks Rewards, the Schnucks Rewards app. Download it on the App Store or Google Play. The Schnucks Rewards app rewards you for shopping at Schnucks. Well, it is finally Masters Week in what has been such a strange, bizarre 7 or 8 months of no sports, then some sports, then a lot of sports. The Masters is here, and it's great to welcome in Rick Gaiman from RickRungood.com to chat it over with us. Of course, also the First Cut podcast, CBS Sports Golf Digest. You can hear and see him, read him all over the place. Rick, what's going on, man? Happy Masters Week.
Thank you very much. Yeah, this is obviously our Super Bowl, Chris, and it's been 19 months since we've had one, but now we're going to get two in a row. We're going to get two in 5 months. So it's just going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, that's the first thing. And, you know, I wonder, because there had been some rumblings about some folks with Augusta and with the course, with the Masters, being a little apprehensive about how things would go this week, how some of the overseeding would take, what that would mean for a quick turnaround for April. What are the early returns you're hearing as we now approach the Masters and approach round one on Thursday about the conditions of the course, how the course is holding up, and what guys are expecting?
Yeah, so it's so funny. You know, there's almost like a bubble over Augusta National, right? We've joked about that in the past, but like they can almost recreate April-like conditions in November. Now, the one thing that they would love to try to be able to control, but they're not going to be, is certainly the weather. And there's rain in the forecast this week, but I think we dodged a bullet on, you know, we could have gotten an unseasonably cold November week in Augusta, Georgia, and it could have been 45 degrees all week long. It's going to be warm, but it is going to be wet. So luckily with the technology and the sub air system they have, Chris, that's this is mind boggling, but a lot of golf courses have this way to remove moisture from the ground and suck it out of there. It's unbelievable stuff. The greens should be relatively normal. What we would see, they'll still be fairly firm and fast, but it will play a lot longer. You know, that rain in the fairways and the rough, it's going to make it much more difficult to get any run out on your drive. So I think that's the biggest difference that we're going to be seeing now, as we are just, you know, so close to those guys teeing off on Thursday morning.
Yeah, and when you combine that with the sub-air technology and how they're able to maintain the integrity, the firmness of the greens regardless of the time of year, that could create some new challenges and certainly some new angles and some new club lengths into some of these greens, and then trying to hold the greens, couldn't it, Rick?
Certainly, especially for the guys who have played here 6, 7, 8 plus times. You know, they know, okay, you hit it to that fairway bunker, then you've got 8 iron in, or you've got 6 iron in. Well, you might not be able to reach that bunker this time around, especially because you're not getting any run with your drive. So now you might be hitting a club or two longer into every single one of these greens. And I think it's not only going to be more difficult because you'll be further back, obviously, even as a pretty terrible golfer as I am, I hit my pitching wedge a lot closer than I hit my 6-iron. So we all understand that, but also a little bit of the mental side, you know, not used to hitting the shots from the angles, as you mentioned, Chris. I think that's a great point. And from the distances that they're probably going to be hitting from this week.
Rick Gaiman with us. RickRungood.com is where you go. We'll get to forecasting some of the tournament, what we expect from both the DFS and a wagering standpoint in just a moment. But yeah, I wonder about that, Rick. And also, I think about how the actual field itself is going to be affected. And, you know, with the difference in daylight this time of year with the split tees, and also, to be perfectly blunt about it, with CBS and the football package on Sunday with the games that they're going to be showing, we also saw the cut line adjusted.
Yeah, certainly. So normally we would see a top 50 end ties plus anyone within 10 strokes of the lead on Friday would make the cut. Now they've removed the 10 shot rule. So that doesn't always impact everything, but 9 guys last year would have missed the cut under 2020 rules. So there is definitely an emphasis on getting as much out of the daylight hours, ending as early as they possibly can within reason, so that the Masters can coincide with, you know, a big college game day Saturday night, and then also obviously the Sunday NFL action. So we're going to see split tees. We've never seen that before. Guys going out on 10 and 1 at the same time. Again, I think it's just another wrench for some of these guys, Chris, who you talk about tradition, right? I mean, there's nothing more traditional than the Masters. Guys who have played it year in, year out. It's going to be weird. It's going to be different. We didn't even mention no patrons yet. I mean, it's just going to be different in a lot of ways for some of these guys who have played it countless times.
Yeah, the fact that there will be no roars around the golf course, I wonder how that will affect guys who have played Augusta time and time again. Not necessarily how it's going to affect, you know, actually the shots that they're hitting, but just as kind of a barometer. With guys going out in the front and the back, especially on Sunday, might be a little bit different in terms of how you gauge kind of where you stand based on the normal pace of things on a Sunday or even a moving day Saturday at Augusta.
Certainly, and we've heard that countless times, that the roars and the way they roll and echo through Augusta National, you can actually tell what scores guys are making and who's going on a run. I mean, Tiger described his back nine last year. I mean, he knew from the crowd noise, you know, what guys in groups around him were doing, if they were making birdies, if they were hitting good shots. So without that, they're going to be a bit more reliant on scoreboards and not being able to feed off that energy. And yet now being, it's not just, you know, guys starting on one and going out and playing 1 through 18. It's just a whole different animal now, that none of that noise, none of that extra information is going to be available to them like it would have been in previous years.
Well, speaking of information, Rick Gaiman from RickRungood.com is with us. Rick, so much available up on the website at RickRungood.com. What's your favorite part of for a major, but especially for a Masters, starting to put together your previews for the week?
Yeah, I think especially this week with Augusta National, you know, course history is so important. So I run this little model where I take every single PGA Tour stat over the last 12 years, and I compare, you know, who leads in each stat against who plays well at each course. And it starts to build profiles of golfers that are going to play well at specific courses. And when you have a course like Augusta National, which plays so consistently every single year, and it's the only major that we get on the same venue every single year, this is where I really start drooling, Chris, because I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much data here. And the data is so good. It makes the whole week a little bit easier. It just makes me feel more comfortable with the whole thing, and it just gets me even more amped than I could possibly be.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about some of the last couple of tournaments, some of the handful of tournaments, and even in this restart, tournaments that have been moved around, courses that have been shifted around, and we don't necessarily have data to compare, you know, course history to on a year-to-year basis. We throw some of that out, we throw away some of the trends, but this is about as much data as you can have, and as much consistent data as you can have, the way that the golf course has has been relatively, and I say relatively, unchanged for the large part.
Yeah, they've added a tee box or two, moved things back a little bit, but for the most part, that rough is always the same length. They want the same target winning score, so you can really identify things. I'll give you a great example here. You know, driving distance is the number one most important stat at Augusta National, and I'm pretty confident in saying that with the amount of data that we have. And in fact, there's only one other course on the PGA Tour where driving distance is more valuable. So, I mean, you talk about not only in a regular year does driving distance strongly correlate with the leaderboard, but in a year where it's probably going to be pretty wet, it might be even more important. I mean, it's just, it's really fascinating stuff when you dive into the numbers and all the history that they have around here.
What's the other course?
I want to say it is Chapultepec in Mexico. I knew you were going to ask me that as soon as that came out of my mouth. And I was clicking through my database here. I want to say it's Chapultepec, which is where they host WGC Mexico, but I don't have it at the tip of my fingers like I wish I did as soon as that came out of my mouth.
No. Of course. Or maybe, yeah, we could ask Club Pro Guy. So as we start to dive into this week and driving distance, like you said, we all saw some of the tweets, I'm sure, about Bryson and what he was hitting in his practice rounds. That's really where we start with driving distance. So how much does driving distance and the conditions this year and what we expect from the golf course affect and perhaps even enhance how you look at Bryson DeChambeau, or does it as much as you thought?
Yeah, so I actually found the other course. It's Kapalua. It's Century Tournament of Champions. That's the number one.
Oh, sure, of course. Yeah,
where guys are hitting like
450-yard bombs. Yeah, okay.
Exactly right. Because if you hit the right side of the fairway, the correct side of the fairway, you can roll it down there forever. But no, I think what's interesting about Bryson is he's not only going to try to do the distance thing, he's going to, based on what he's told us, take some really aggressive lines. You know, with that distance, he could easily hit 3 wood off a lot of these tees and still have 9-8 iron in, whatever. That's not what he's going to do. He's going to try to pull driver everywhere, right? He's going to try to drive number 3. He's going to try to cut the corner on 13, which is something we've never seen anybody try. So it's almost a combination of the raw distance that he has in the bag right now, and then also the aggressive mindset where I've been really going back and forth on this all week, Chris. I mean, I think the range of outcomes for Bryson is very large. I think it's winning this thing by 6 shots, or if things go horribly wrong and he tries to cut the corner at number 13 and makes a double or makes a triple and he rattles around a couple around in the trees for, you know, a couple different holes. Like, of the top guys, I think he's more likely to miss the cut than a Dustin Johnson, than a John Rahm, than a Justin Thomas, because they're going to play it in a more traditional manner and they still have a great skill set.
So all about risk reward.
That's what I think. And I think that's what he's trying to do, right? I think that's what all this transformation has been. With great risk comes great reward. With trying all these things to transform your body and do things that no one has ever seen, that's very risky. But I think that he sees that as his path to winning a lot of golf tournaments. And so far, so good in this transformation.
Who are some of the other guys that really have been good off the tee, Rick, and really are going to get an advantage with driving distance? Even if they're not taking some of the angles that Bryson's taking, they're still going to be putting themselves in good condition and in good spots on an Augusta that's playing even longer than usual.
Yeah, so Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson are the next two that come to mind. Not only do you want guys who hit it far, but you want guys that carry it far, right? It's as soon as it lands, it's going to stick right there. You're not getting much roll out of it. Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, both bomb it and bomb it very high. I mean, I would argue if Dustin Johnson started swinging as hard as Bryson DeChambeau does, he'd be driving it way past. The guy's just, I mean, it's just such an easy, you know, 330 yards or whatever it is off the tee. So those guys are certainly in the next tier right behind Bryson of not letting, you know, there is no course too long for them. They're going to be just fine in wet conditions, and the rest of their game is obviously, you know, Dustin's been awesome. Rory struggled a bit, but both of them have been, you know, historically so good in major championships.
You know, and from a strokes gain perspective, Rick, like even if he doesn't have the eye-popping distance numbers all the time that Bryson has, Rory's been almost as good with the driver all around as Bryson has been, hasn't he?
Oh, for sure. I mean, they are within 0.2 of a stroke of each other in strokes gained off the tee. In fact, at Winged Foot, Bryson was second in the field in strokes gained off the tee. The only guy that was better was Rory McIlroy. I mean, he has a weapon in the bag. We have seen him working hard on Instagram. That's how we get our updates now. Instagram workouts, let's see the launch monitor, let's see the numbers and the exit speed and, you know, the club head speed and all that stuff. It's phenomenal stuff, but I mean, Rory's been putting in the work. He knows that distance is an advantage. He was already one of the longest players on tour, and yes, he is very much in the same category as Bryson DeChambeau with that big stick.
You know, you mentioned the course history as well, and even if the course itself is going to be playing a little bit different because of the distance and because of the length, driving distance is the most important factor. What does course history tell us, Rick? We know, of course, guys like Tiger and Bubba and Phil, but as we dive a little bit deeper into the course history, what do those returns tell you, and how does that affect how you look, especially at the top of the board?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things here. So there is a very strong course history metric this week. I mean, again, you usually get a very similar field where the bottom percentage of it is going to be your past champions and your amateurs, and then you're going to have the same caliber of golfers playing the same course generally, usually at the same time every year. So it is a very strong course history event where you see the same guys finishing in the top 10, finishing in the top 15, almost year in and year out. I mean, a big part of that though, Chris, is and I hate to say this, and Justin Rose might take offense to this, and Paul Casey might take offense to this, but it's kind of hard to miss a cut around here, you know, especially when there's only 93 players in the field. I mentioned the past champions at the bottom. They're unlikely to make the cut. You've got some amateurs that are unlikely to make the cut. You really do. The cream really does rise to the weekend. They're able to get there. So missed cuts aren't really much of a concern, but I would definitely be, especially on the greens, those guys who have putted and played Augusta National, they learn the breaks, they learn the speed. It's a very much an experience course when you're on the greens.
All right, so give me an idea, Rick, how you are starting to build first your DFS lineups. And as you mentioned, you know, Bryson, the risk reward and the possibility of missing the cut. If you're filling out a handful of lineups, are you staying away from Bryson? Are you fading him, as risky as that could be? Are you, using some Bryson and then staying away from Bryson? How are you handling Bryson, knowing the potential volatility that could come with this week?
Yeah, so we don't talk a lot about ownership, Chris, but I project Bryson DeChambeau to be in about 15% of all lineups. I think that's a really fair number. I am probably not going to take a hard stance on him. I will probably try to match the field and just see what happens. I would rather take stands on guys like Justin Thomas, who I really like. I would rather take stands on other popular golfers like a Tony Finau. Maybe I don't want to be as exposed to Tony Finau as the rest of the field is going to be. So I'd rather take my stands other places than Bryson DeChambeau. And the good news with that is if you don't pay up for the most expensive golfer on DraftKings, for example, $11,200, that's Bryson, you can really make some great lineups. I mean, the pricing is usually softer for major championships. We're seeing that again here. You can put together six really good lineups, and you're going to be, for the first time ever, Chris, this is a big thing, having a Masters during the NFL season, you are going to get a lot of those casual NFL guys who think they know a thing or two about golf coming in to make lineups and having no idea what's going on. So I think the pricing is soft. I think that the caliber of the field that you're playing against will be softer than normal. I think this is a really good opportunity for those of us who are doing the research, for our understanding the metrics that we want to look for to really find success this week.
Yeah, on your cheat sheet at rickrungood.com, you have four guys, and sign up at rickrungood.com. I just renewed my subscription. Can't recommend enough the resources. You have four guys right now that you project to be 20% or higher in ownership, and two of them Are Tony Finau and Hideki Matsuyama, did that surprise you, Rick?
Not so much, no. So Tony Finau, who has just been, you know, phenomenal from tee to green for the last 3 months or so, we can argue about his weekend finishes and how he's faded on the weekend, but he came in at $8,800 on DraftKings. That is a really easy price point to plug into lineups, whether you're going stars and scrubs or whether you're going with a more balanced approach. And the same with Hideki. Hideki is $8,700. He's coming off of a great week last week in Houston. He's had a couple of opportunities at Augusta National. He's played well historically. So when you start getting down into that sub $9,000 range on DraftKings, it's just so much easier to plug those guys into lineups. It's not too surprising to see a couple of guys from that range project as the highest owned of all the golfers.
All right, before I ask you for a couple of your favorite guys from both the DFS and a wagering standpoint as we start to build our cards, have to ask you about Tiger because Tiger checks in at 9,100 on DraftKings. Where do you project him in terms of ownership? Where do you project him in that range in terms of his scoring potential? And anything surprising about the way the public is treating Tiger Woods right now?
I have him at about 8.5%, which is very low for Tiger. If you made me lay a $5 bill on this, I think it's going to be higher than that when these contests actually lock. I bet you it's 10-12% because of the NFL players that we have, because Tiger is your defending champion, and because, Chris, he's Tiger Woods. People love him, and yep, they want to root for him. Unfortunately, there is little evidence that Tiger Woods is going to have a successful week. You know, just compare his lead-in form this year to when he won last year in 2019. His 8 starts previous to the Masters in 2019, I mean, he was gaining strokes in every major category. He was playing really well. Fast forward to his last 8 starts this time around, he's losing strokes in 3 out of the 4 categories. He's basically 2 shots worse per round this time around. And there's just little evidence in this 2020 calendar year, as much as I would love it, as much as I would love to see Tiger slip on the green jacket for the 6th time, there's little evidence that that's going to happen.
Rick Gammon, rickrungood.com is the place to go. So give us, as you already mentioned, kind of how you're going to handle Bryce, and give us the couple of guys that you really do like, Rick, maybe at the top of the card and the middle of the card. And then if you've got a sleeper or two, just where we should think about starting if we're starting to build our lineup, look for some advantages, especially considering, you know, how many people might be playing this week and dipping their toes into the water.
Absolutely. So Justin Thomas, in both DFS and wagering purposes, to me is objectively one of the better options. So he's $10,700 on DraftKings, which puts him lower than Bryson, but more expensive than Dustin, just John Rahm and Rory McIlroy, which I think kind of creates a vacuum. I think he'll be a little bit overlooked. And then also with the way that Bryson has played, with the way that Dustin Johnson has played and John Rahm has played the last couple of weeks, his odds have drifted anywhere between 12 and 14 to 1. He is someone who has all of the skill sets. He's number one in this field since the restart in strokes gained approach. He's number one around the greens. He's trending, getting better each and every year at Augusta National. I think he can win here in a big way. And then a little bit further down the board, $9,000 on DraftKings, you have Bubba Watson. There's a guy who, over his last handful of starts, has been phenomenal from tee to green. He is not a very good putter, but if you put him at a place where he's had a lot of success, where he understands the greens, that's where you want to roll him out. Bubba Watson has a Hall of Fame career at 3 courses, and this is one of them. I'm happy to deploy him at Augusta National. Then you start to look to the betting card and some guys that might be interesting in terms of value, and they're both at 90-1. Cam Smith is someone that is trending in just a great direction right now. He's made the cut in 10 consecutive starts. His last 2 were an 11th place finish at the CJ Cup, a 4th place finish at the Zozo Championship. Those fields, those invitational fields, are going to be very similar to the field that we have this week at Augusta National. And if it does get wet, it does get sloppy. Cam Smith won this year. He won in January at the Sony Open in wet, soggy, just kind of nasty conditions. And then the other 90-1 golfer, and he's also $7,000 on DraftKings, Chris, is Jason Kokrak. And, you know, if you and I went back and forth and we started naming and listing off bombers, the guys who hit it the furthest on the PGA Tour, it would take us a while before we named Jason Kokrak, but he was actually seventh on tour in driving distance last year, so he can move it out there. He won the CJ Cup. He's been piling up top 20s over his last 8 to 10 starts. I think he's in a really good position to keep the good times rolling when he steps onto the grounds at Augusta National.
All right, so Justin Thomas, Bubba Watson, Cam Smith, and Jason Kokrak. Give folks an idea, Rick, what they're going to find at rickrungood.com. Not just all of the information to get you set for the weekend, but then with the amount of data we have, I'm sure that the in-game, the live metrics that you have and the chances to, you know, adjust from round to round probably as valuable as ever this weekend.
Yeah, there is probably more data than you want on rickrungood.com. So I there's so much data. I try to do my best to create visualizations that make it easy to digest. My whole goal is to make the research process as easy as possible. So you can come in here and you can see how guys have been playing well coming into this event, how they've played well recently. You know, you can slice and dice the data up in any direction that you want, and hopefully just make the process a lot easier for you and make sure you're getting, you know, the most quality information to make your decisions.
Rick Gaiman from rickrungood.com. You'll also hear him on the CBS First Cut podcast all week and this weekend. Read him at Golf Digest, all over the place. Rick, appreciated, man. I know we'll be in touch this weekend. Enjoy it. It's finally here, and here's to a great Masters week. Love the chats as always, brother.
Yes, thanks, and always good to talk to you, Chris.
Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, is one of the great sponsors of the program and Scoops with DannyMac.com. And right now is a perfect time to learn about a home loan refinance. You hear the word all the time, but maybe you don't even know what you're doing. Essentially, you're redoing your loan. So in terms of your first mortgage, you're retooling your loan. The home loan expert is paying off your current loan and giving you a brand new loan. You can decide the term, 30 years. You can go shorter. Give them a call. Look at your current mortgage and ask the home loan expert, Ryan Kelly, if they can do anything to improve your situation. It all depends on your goal, and they will work with you. But everyone with a mortgage loan can benefit from calling Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, today for a free mortgage analysis. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com, thehomeloanexpert.com. Learn about not just the incredible loan offers that they have, but also the incredible customer service, their customer-first approach that separates them from anyone else you could get a mortgage through. Ryan Kelly is the home loan expert online at thehomeloanexpert.com. All right, huge thanks to Rick Gaiman, and the Masters get started tomorrow. Cannot wait. We will have some more content over the next couple of days, but tomorrow Dan joins me in studio. Our Thursday visits with Danny Mac, that happens tomorrow. Again, don't forget, subscribe to the podcast, Scoops with Danny Mac, wherever you listen to podcasts. If you've got a question for the mailbag tomorrow, you can email me, chris@scoopswithdannymac.com, or tweet me at CHRABE. Thanks to Rick. Enjoy the first round of the Masters, and until tomorrow, be nice to each other, and as always, peace.